What's up, everybody? Hope you're doing good. In a pretty good mood today, and the weather's a bit shit up in Flagstaff, so I mean, it's just raining and thunderstorms. Flagstaff's a pretty cool place that you can like drive. Today's drive will probably be about 50 minutes, and I just get to like a lower elevation, about half the elevation, and also it's just like a bit warmer, and usually this place that I'm going to today, in fact, I only ever go if it's like, it's not going to be like windy, and this is just a place to go to feel good, and hopefully, you know, the session goes well, and you can then like drive back up and think, wow, like good day. If I check the weather and it said that the weather, it's a place called Camp Verde. Actually, I've been driving about half an hour, and I've just seen the sign for 6,000 feet. It's really beautiful. It's like the valley opens up, and you start going downhill pretty quickly now. And there's like a rainbow today because of the thunderstorms and stuff. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Today, let's see. Yesterday, I did 10 miles. I'll kind of run through what I did and why I did it. So obviously I rested Monday, Tuesday. I told you guys about that on the previous podcast. I thought that was smart. I was still nervous yesterday. It's still only like day three. Nervous because I've never had a fucking tooth pulled or anything like that. And I find it very interesting that like as humans, we just love to fucking break the rules, right? Like all the fucking time. You're driving along and you'll see a speed sign and it'll say 65, 55, 45 and it's going down because there's roadworks ahead and you just think, nah, rules don't apply to me and you just fucking carry on and then you hammer the brakes and you get to the, and like, it's the same with like the tooth, you know, like the dentist here in Flag, he asked me he was like, ideally, what would you like to do? I think I said, look, to be perfectly honest with you, buddy, like, the ideal world, I would go run tonight. But I was like, I'm assuming that's not an option. And I was like, and I'm also willing to rest tomorrow if that's what it takes. Maybe because I see value in a couple of rest days. Don't love a couple of rest days. You know, everybody's always saying you don't lose fitness. And I'm 90% sure that I believe that in 2 days you don't lose any fitness. But I don't fucking know. If you didn't lose fitness in 2 days, well, why don't we just rest fucking Monday and Tuesday of every week? So I don't know. That's all I can tell you. Then it got to Wednesday. I did a 10-mile run with Emily in the group. It was nice and easy. I didn't even have my watch because the battery was flat. So I just let her like dictate what we did. And I felt okay. I didn't feel amazing. But I felt way better than I did on Sunday, which was like the day that I felt a bit poorly or whatever, and like the fever. So that was a good sign. And then towards the end of the run, I felt way better than I did at the start of the run. So I think when you do take 2 days off and you're not really used to taking rest days, it's a different feeling. And the body's kind of switched off a bit. Even though there feels like there's strength in your legs and stuff, like you feel a bit stiff and a bit, apologies for that. So then I did some strides. I got my marathon shoes from Under Armour and I wanted to like break them in a little bit before I do like a session in them today. So I did a couple of strides. And then I also did gym. That's kind of one of the things I'd like to explain. Like, you know, I've been going to yoga and all these things. Actually in the last like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I won't go to yoga at all. Mainly because I've ran well in marathons before, having never gone to yoga. So I integrated yoga in the training phase, and I think it was really important, and I think it probably helped keep me injury-free and things like this, but I just don't want to fuck with things too close to the race. Like, you know, I know that you need a certain amount of tension and, like, stiffness in your body and in your legs to run a good marathon, and so the reason I did some gym, I mean, I've been doing gym the last couple of weeks anyway, and I was doing like other gym stuff with a place called Physio Shop in Flagstaff, But I wanted to bring weights back in, so I brought weights back in about 4 weeks ago. And the reason I did that is because basically with 10 days to go, I don't really do weights. I always think there's just a little bit of a risk with weights. Although if you're pretty well warmed up and you're not trying to overachieve, like, there's probably not a huge risk. But there's a risk with everything you do. There's the sign for 5,000 feet, so we really descend that. But yeah, basically, two rest days, you know, you can just get a little bit, like, I noticed after two rest days, if I'd have gone to a yoga class, I would be far better. You know, you get far less stiff, you get, like, really nice and loose, and your body's feeling good. But at this point of the marathon, like, with the marathon in, like, 8 days, I don't really want to feel, like, super loose, you know, I kind of want to feel, like, ready, and to me, the gym's really good for that. Like, I think you can go in the gym and, I mean, I didn't hit any weights hard. I'm probably lifting 25, 50, probably about 80 pounds, whatever that is in kilograms when I'm doing, like, a couple of squats. And then I'm doing some, like, lateral lunges and, like, some plyometric stuff. But just, and then when I went for massage, for example, he was like, yeah, I can feel, like, I can definitely feel in your calf. There's a little bit of tension today. And I was like, you know, like, I'm happy to hear that because it means what I've done in the gym is sort of, like, switch things on and got them, like, fired up a bit. And he's not saying, like, tight or injured. He's just saying, like, yeah, you're carrying a little bit of, like, he calls it, like, reactivity. So, like, when he sees the muscle, like, he can see that it's, like, maybe it's, like, switched on and it's doing something. And I think when it gets closer to marathon day, like, I think you need a little bit of that. I don't know. I don't know the science behind it, but I just like to know that my muscles are there and they're switched on. And I think in the taper phase, and especially when you're forced to rest for 2 days, I think you can just get a little bit flat. And, like, you know, you go for massage, you train a lot less than what you normally do, you eat a lot more than what you normally do, and all of a sudden you just feel like shit. So I kind of try to avoid that. And yeah, so today I'm going to do like a, it's kind of like, yeah, I'm just going to see how it kind of goes. It's going to be like, it's a bit of a made up session. It's not something that we would typically do. But I'm essentially going to do 4 miles around about, call it marathon pace, just to break the shoes in and just to kind of get the body going again after the couple of days off. And then we're hoping to do another, I guess, oh shit, that would only be 2 miles. Probably another 4 miles worth of 800 on, 800 off. So maybe going like a little bit faster. And then potentially back to maybe another 4 miles back at marathon pace. That's assuming everything kind of goes smoothly. I'm still taking antibiotics. Antibiotics are a bit of a fucking pain in the ass. I don't mind that I still have to take them because I'm just finishing the dose. The dose finishes tomorrow. So I'll be boarding my plane to Doha tomorrow and the dose will be finished and all the rest of it. Funny story, in university, like if I would get really sick because I was partying way too much, like if I knew we were going to like go out drinking, I would just like skip the antibiotics that day. I'd just be like, yeah, it's Saturday, the antibiotics, I'll just take them tomorrow. But I don't do that now. But what I do is like, I haven't taken my antibiotic today, so I'm going down the mountain and I know they're still in my system from the last few days, but the intensity of today, there we go, we're at 4,000 feet, look at that. The intensity of today isn't that tough, so it shouldn't be a problem. I asked my doctor at home and he said, just go easy on the intensity because of the tooth, less about the antibiotics. And I totally agree. This is where like, you know, this is where like you have to be logical and, you know, I was thinking about my build up and like my confidence in my build up and, like at the end of the day, I think I've averaged over the 8 weeks that I did well. So like, going back to the Irish camps, flying to Flagstaff the next day, the 8 weeks from that day were really good. Really, really good. Really impressive. Like, I think I probably averaged about 90, 92 miles a week. Didn't really step a foot out of line. Lots of sessions I can really get behind and be like brought up and excited about. I also, for some reason, have forgot that, you know, I've done 2 humidity camps at this point. And probably good thing it did. I don't think you can tell how much the likes of those pay off, because I don't think they pay off in the way that we believe they will. I don't think you can acclimate for somewhere like Doha. Not if you think by acclimating you're going to find it like comfortable or easy. It's it, fuck, you know, this ain't going to be comfortable or easy. This is going to be the hardest race of my life. But I fucking love that. Just a sec. And a wee sip of coffee. I really love that. I am so excited for the challenge. It is unbelievable. Like, I really thrive under, like, maybe, like, it's not necessarily pressure, but just, like, shitty conditions. Like, you have to be smart. And then when shit hits the fan, which it will, probably far faster than you want, you just fucking knuckle down. And you say to yourself, this is what I was fucking born to do, you know? Like, just when real, like, I pride myself on, even when I worked for a company, I worked for, like, a marketing company, and we had these trackers, and we did this rally down in Kurdistan. And then the fucking batteries in the car started going down. So I came up with a plan that the next time they rest at the next checkpoint, I'll fucking get round every single car and change the batteries. And I just fucking love it. When shit hits the fan, that's when, like, I think that's, now you're living, you know? None of this comfortable shit. Like, when you're in your comfort zone, like, you know, it's just easy. It's comfortable. It's boring. It's mundane. You know, when shit hits the fan, it's just like, boom, you fucking feel alive. And then your brain starts going into fucking hyperdrive and giving you shit about, you know, you should stop, big lad. This is nuts. And then you just have to be like, shut the fuck up. Like, let's keep going. We don't stop. We don't quit. Like, I asked the... I've probably told you guys this before, but I asked the sports psychologist, Gary Longwell, Irish international rugby player. I asked him before why our boxers are so good. And I was like, is it coaching? Do they have training methods that other people don't have? Do they train harder than everybody else has? And he was just like, they're just a different breed. And he basically just told me that our boxers are just fucking warriors. He's like, there's something about the boxers that he's come across that they just have this, you know, it's almost like having a sixth gear, but it's like, it only happens in like competition and stuff. Like, they just don't quit. There's just no quit in them. And they just have this extra fucking gear. And maybe that's something about Northern Ireland, you know, like, I don't know about you guys, but when I'm around people and things that they see as like a problem, I just don't fucking see it as a problem, because I'm so used to our problems being worse, you know? So, like, people are trying to, like, I'm trying to relate to these people about something, and I'm like, fucking hell, is that it? Like, is that all you're bothered about? Like, Jesus, like, fuck off. And yeah, so, like, maybe that's it. Maybe there's, like, a warrior. So, yeah, I'm really excited. Another thing that I thought about yesterday was I've not ran well for Ireland probably since like European indoors a long, long time ago. And even that wasn't great. I also realized that I haven't been healthy going to a championship for Ireland in, it could be 6 years. I thought back to the championships that I've done, and it dates back to World Half was my first championship back, but I had a chest infection. So I did a photo shoot for Under Armour about 3 weeks before. Bear in mind, I was very new to Under Armour, and I wasn't contracted at the time. But you know, me and Haas had spoke about it, and they asked me to do this photo shoot. And at the time, I was like, you know, it's 3 weeks before World Half. I don't know, Haas. Like, what do you think? And then I remember saying to myself, Stephen, like, you're going to go on this shoot, you could potentially meet people that could change your life. Like, you know, you could connect with people. It's far easier to get, like, a contract and any kind of support like that when people actually know who you are. You know, they can put a face to, like, this generic email that maybe your agent has sent to them about supporting you. So I went on this, but it ended up being in Salt Lake City, and it was freezing cold. Like, I mean freezing cold. And we were like running around, and it wasn't Under Armour's fault. It was actually my fault for, I tried to train hard and do the photo shoot. And what ended up happening was I just, my body just got run down. I remember just feeling really like fatigued. And I traveled back to Flagstaff, and then I think a day or two later, I flew out to the UK. And of course, half a week later, you know, 3-4 days later, I already could sense that my throat's starting to close over. And then I get this really gnarly chesty cough. And it did clear up like maybe like a week before World Champs. And I decided to go. But I decided to go because I hadn't ran for Ireland in about 5 years. I didn't go because I thought I was going to run well. And I ran pretty shit. I think I ran like, I can't even remember. I was probably like 90th. It was shit. Maybe I ran like 65:30, but like 4 months before I'd ran 63 minutes, and training looked to be going in a better direction since that. And then I got sick. The next championship was later that year, European Champs. So bounced back from World Half and did London Marathon really well. But that was for me, that wasn't for Ireland. A couple of weeks later, I ran 28:30 for 10K, which was really good. Honestly believed I could improve on that because I didn't fucking try. I just jogged around this 10K to run the qualifying time for Europeans. Like, but maybe that was the key. I don't know. But then I took time and trained really well, trained really hard, did everything right. Probably invested about £3,000 of my own money. I still wasn't contracted by Under Armour, bear in mind. Invested heavily in getting the Europeans to go well. And again, this sounds annoying, but I was on a photo shoot with Under Armour and I just didn't warm up properly, or I don't know what I did, but I set off up a hill for them to take a photo and I just felt my adductor strain. And I was like, yeah, that's not good. Actually, I think I'm a year forward here, but it doesn't really matter. I think it was European. No, I'm right. Yeah, European Champs came after London. So I carry this groin injury the whole summer. Like, I mean, I carry this groin injury enough that I did the Morton Games 5K and ran 13:50. But I shoot around about 13:35, 13:40. And I'll tell you why. Like 2 days before the race, I had to do a session on the track in St. Moritz to see if my body could handle running at 5K pace. Because I'd rather find out that day on the track, 2 days before, that it wasn't going to handle it, than travel all the way to Ireland from St. Moritz, struggle around the race, and then have to go back to St. Moritz thinking that was a waste of time. I flew into Ireland. I've been working on this groin myself and other physios for about 3-4 weeks at that point. I limped around. Didn't limp around. That's bullshit. I felt fine. It didn't hurt during the race at all. But it's the psychology. It's that you're so thrown off. Everyone was like, are you excited about Berlin? I wasn't, because all I could think about was this fucking groin. You know, I just wanted it to go away. And then like, instead of doing, like, I was supposed to go to, like down to Italy and train hard with, like, Andy Vernon. And he was doing maybe, like, you know, 6 by 1 mile really hard. And instead of me doing that, I had to do, like, 6 mile threshold around the lake. Because that's all my groin would let me do. When Vernon was doing, like, you know, maybe on the track, he was going to do, like, a really hard K. Just to like get the legs real, whatever, like there's a benefit, right? And it's like a really hard K and then some longer reps and then maybe like a faster 600 at the end. Again, I think I did like a fart leg that day because, so psychologically it just wasn't great. I wasn't in a good headspace whatsoever. And that really sucked. And then I was supposed to go to European Championships cross country. You know, I'd been pre-selected based on numerous results that year, 28:30, you know, even though Berlin wasn't great, I still broke 30 minutes. And I don't know that we ever really have 6 guys sub 30 minutes for 10K. So when Paul asked me, like, how do you think you do? You know, I told him, like, I'm pretty sure every week of the year right now, I could run like 29:30. I train fucking hard. Like, I'm pretty much always there. And then I said, like, probably if I put a bit of emphasis over the next, like, 2 weeks or whatever, I could probably
like run even quicker than that. And then like I get selected and I end up getting sick. I'm like, fuck's sake. Like, so this time, unlike World Half, I decided it, first of all, I didn't earn that selection the right way. I earned it in terms of I've been the national 10K champion now twice. And it's been earned in terms of like, I also ran 28:30 that year and was like a minute ahead of the next Irish person. So like, I'll slow down on the not earned it. But at the same time, there's a trial for a reason. Okay. So, and I get that. I decided to step down. I decided to let, one of the other guys come in. I called Paul 2 days, 3 days before the race, and I just told him what was going on and told him that I was happy to race, but, the problem with it is I wouldn't give a fair account of myself, and he'd be held liable and I'd be held liable of maybe like a subpar result. You know what I mean? At the time, I just remember thinking, like, I don't think that's what either of us need. Like, I'd obviously love to be picked in the future, and I just didn't think that it wouldn't justify my selection. It also wouldn't justify, like, calling my selection. And I, like, one thing I've probably pride myself on is, like, in the last, like, I remember messaging Paul McNamara before the World Champs in 2017 and, like, just asking for the selection, even though I'd ran at the IAAF time, but I hadn't ran Ireland, etc. over my qualifying time. And I think I pretty much said since then that, all right, in future, I'm just going to run the qualifying time because, like, I don't like this. I don't like having to ask for, like, a selection or ask for, like, you know, a discretionary selection type thing. I just thought it would be far easier if you just run the time and make it way less complicated for, like, both Paul and myself or the selection committee and yourself. So I think I've kind of done that. No, I think another thing I've been good at is, like, giving a fair account of, like, where my fitness is at and, just not, like, bullshit anyone, like, oh, you know, I'm going to fucking go to European cross country and come top 10. I wonder how many people have told Paul McNamara that over the years and other Irish, you know, high performance managers and just not delivered. Like, I told Paul in 2017 that I was going to go to London and run the IAAF qualifying time, like 2:18. And I remember at the time he was like, you know, it was ambitious because, like, I hadn't been running like 2 months before or whatever, and it was ambitious, or like 3 months before, sorry. And then in like 2018, I told him I'm going to go through halfway at London Marathon in 68 minutes. And depending on how the weather is, like, I'll either be able to pick it up or I'll just keep it going. And the whole point was to run at the time, the championship time for the world champs. And I did, you know, I ran something like 67:50 and like 68:05, something like that. And I ran 2:15:55. Then for Houston, I think Houston is the only time that I told him I thought I'd be a bit better. I'm pretty sure I sort of predicted that I could probably run like 2:12, 2:13. But that I was going to go through in 67, just to play it safe. And then in fairness, probably had I not gone the wrong way, and maybe if I was a bit more fortunate with the weather, sorry, my ears are popping. You know, the weather was -2 Celsius, I think, and, 15 mile per hour winds, like, that's not fucking ideal. And I went the wrong way. So you really never know. I think I usually have a pretty good gauge of my fitness or what I'll be able to do over the marathon. And yeah, I've always been pretty honest. So yeah, like, back to my original point, this is the first time, in as far as I can remember, the last time I think I ran for Ireland was in the Serbia European cross country a long time ago, which was before that. Again, I had a chest infection. I made the team, like, one of my best cross-country races ever. I made the team,
and I got sick like 3 days after. And maybe the race just kicked the shit clean out of me. So yeah, I'm excited about that. There's just so much still to do. Like, I need to finish packing. And then it's such a long travel to Doha that it's hard to like maybe start getting like super excited about it and stuff. But I patiently am. In the back of my mind, I'm sure you guys can tell when I talk about it. Like, I'm pretty pumped about just the whole experience. And you know, the first day I get there, which is Saturday, I get to go watch the 100 meter final, for example, at the World Championships. That's a pretty exciting thought. And I know like there's a lot of people in the world would absolutely love to be in the position that I'm in to even get to like do that. I'm very appreciative of that. But yeah, I pretty much got to, I just stopped off at the garage there. I usually get a couple of drinks and stuff, and now it's a short drive in Cap Verde to the road loop. And it's pretty flat, and there's only like, there's two little rises you could talk about. Obviously you go down one and you go up the other. It's just a little 3 mile loop. So what have I got to do? Like 4 laps or something today. I'll probably do a lap for a warm up. I don't do like a huge warm up when I'm like, obviously today that'll be like 3 miles, or I might do like a 2 mile warm up. What would that be? Yeah, I think I'll do a 2 mile warm up, 1 mile warm down. So it should be a 15 mile morning. But for the marathon, you don't really do like a huge warm up. Like, you can do like plenty of like stretching if you want and activation stuff, and you can definitely put the time in. But like, you know, when you're racing a marathon, it's not like you go for a 3 mile warm up and like really like, you know, try to boost volume around marathon day. Like, I think I do like 10 minutes jog, and then I come back and I stretch and do a little bit of activation stuff and make sure nothing's kind of bothering me, and then I like get on with it. And I don't know if that's right or not. I don't really know what other people do, but I think what you're trying not to do is use up any of the fuel that you might need in the marathon itself in your warm-up. I think that's definitely what you don't want to do. So yeah, but look, guys, thanks for listening. I'm starting to kind of, like I said, I'm starting to get a bit more excited. I hit a real negative spot Friday through Sunday. I came off the half really well. You know, I trained really well on the Friday morning, and then like, I don't know if the fever was kind of starting to hit me, but I just started feeling a bit negative and like in panic mode about world champs and my acclimation, and the tooth was really getting me down. Like, there's nothing worse. Like, it's not like, it wasn't like super painful or anything, and it was just the fucking ongoing throbbing. And you know, the things that mean a lot to me is a fucking a cup of tea in the morning in peace, and this like nagging throbbing toothache was just preventing me from even doing the small things in life that I kind of enjoy. So yeah, pretty happy to get that fucker out. And now I can just, like I said, from tomorrow when I take the last antibiotic, I feel like that's it. It's gone. You know, it's dead. It's gone. And I can just focus on like being as relaxed as I possibly can. I did cut my foot down a little bit over the last like probably like 4 or 5 days, like not like drastic, because you don't do anything drastic. But I also like just like a little bit of a detox, like a little bit more smoothies, which was great for the tooth. But you know, like vegetables and salmon, or vegetables and steak is what I had last night with potatoes, and just like healthy, just avoiding all this extra shite, like, you know, like fucking tikka masala sauce, naan bread. I just avoided all the extra crap that sometimes we like complement our meals with, because it's really nice. And when I got on the scales this morning, I was like 150 pounds. So the end of last week, I think I was like 153, and I wasn't very happy with that, because you know, recently I've been hovering around 150, 151. I think I haven't really weighed myself in the morning when I've just woke up. Often it's been after a run, and then I'll be like 147, 148. And I guess that's kind of cheating. So yeah, the Smart Dot's 150, and I'm also pretty happy with that. It's just I'll keep focusing on it for a bit. I'll eat well today and tomorrow. I do a little bit of travel tonight to LA, and then I'll run in LA tomorrow morning, and then I fly to Doha tomorrow. So like I'll eat well throughout the travel, and just avoid any complications with like little bugs or little illnesses. But honestly, most of the time, I think if these things are going to happen to you, they'll happen to you. And if you're going to stress about it, it's not going to go anywhere. I was talking to my masseuse yesterday, and I was telling him it's funny how, like, you know, I've carried these injuries and little illnesses into championships, and then, like, the championship's over, and I go out and get absolutely shit-faced the night after the race, and I eat whatever the fuck I want, and then I wake up a day or two later healthy. And, like, the chest infection's gone, or the groin injury's gone, and I'm just like, what the fuck? And seriously, like, Your body is really smart, and if you really focus on something that you want to get better, like please get better groin, please get better groin, poke prod, roll on it, you know, or like drink every fucking healthy tea there is under the sun to get rid of like a chest infection or a chesty cough. Chances are it probably just won't go anywhere because you're focusing on it too much, and actually usually when it heals is when you just like back off and you give it a chance to heal. Oh, it looks like NAZ are down here, so might have a little bit of company on the loop. But there you go. Thanks for listening, guys. Hope you guys are all doing good. Bit of a longer one today, but that's okay. All right, take care. Bye-bye.